Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That was Miles talking about if he regretted going on Radio Row and basically just shredding the Browns about how bad they are. We will be catching up with Daryl Ryder here momentarily. He's on his way home from the press conference. Speaking of Daryl Ryder, he's going to have plenty to talk about in his latest episode of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, as he also recently sat down with Ohio Governor Mike DeWine to talk about how they will help fund new stadiums across the state. He answers questions and provides details on the proposal to fund stadiums moving forward. Subscribe to the podcast now at 92.3thefan.com, in the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. As we wait for Daryl Ryder, I want to get to some of your calls here on this. Let's go to Lucas in Tennessee. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
We were just curious if you guys thought that maybe trading back from two into, you know, later in the top 10, picking a skills player like Hunter or Mason Graham, Gentry, and then taking a quarterback later in round two or three, and what quarterback we would look at if we did that.
All right, Lucas. Yeah, I appreciate the call. Well, so I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole right now because we are reacting to Miles, and I think is that kind of his top priority here. But yeah, I mean, if they traded back, I think you theoretically could still get Shador Sanders, depending on how these other teams feel about him. But I don't know that he's going to get past the Giants per se. But yeah, I think if they trade back, they're either going to do so to stay in the top 10 and draft Shador, or maybe they have their eyes on like a Jackson Dart or something like that. So we'll see what that all kind of looks like. But that does obviously play into the Myles Garrett situation to an extent, because how Miles, the plan that they sold to Miles seems to be something that they are, you know, trying to execute here, that they're trying to make happen here so that he's happy and the team can kind of get back on track sooner rather than later. But it's, you know, it's interesting that Miles is now all about going from Cleveland to Canton. And he was asked about whether or not he's going to finish his career in Cleveland. And his answer to that question was basically, you know, that's always been the plan from the very beginning, finish with the team that drafted me, and I wanted to bring a championship to Cleveland. Well, that wasn't what you were saying a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago was about winning championships just in general. Now it's back to what you said, I guess, at the beginning of all this. Like, this kind of, maybe this is a little harsh. This kind of feels like he wanted to, like, do... This kind of feels like he wanted to, like, fulfill his LeBron James arc in, like, one off season. Like, we know LeBron's arc at this point. He comes here, he's drafted here, says he wants to bring a championship to Cleveland. He leaves. Everyone hates him. Then he comes back and he wins a championship, and it's like redemption. And Miles knows, like, in the NBA, it's different than the NFL. He can't always do it that way. So it's almost like he tried to pull this off, and, like, after his conversations with LeBron, like, hey, how can I make myself an even bigger icon? And it's like, well, hey, say that you want out and then come back and then win a title at some point in your career. Like, it's almost like he tried to, like, follow the LeBron James story arc and just get it all done in one season and become, like, this Browns legend that way. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little extreme here, but it's just, like, weird how he can use Andrew Berry's words against him in his statement a month or so ago and say, no, it's not about Cleveland to Canton. And then a month or so later, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you know, Canton sounds kind of nice, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Okay. Speaking of Daryl Ryder, he was on scene at the press conference. Daryl, before we talk about what Miles had to say, I have to know what your reaction was when you walk into the media room and you see the dinosaurs on the desk and cupcakes with Miles Garrett riding the dinosaurs stuck in them.
I thought I was at a birthday party, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie.
Have you ever, like, in your years of covering this team, and you've been on the beat for a long time, we know, have you ever seen anything like that for, like,
no.
Anything? Like, signing, drafted a player, anything?
No. I mean, they had little dinosaurs across the podium there where Miles sat down to talk. You mentioned the cupcakes with Miles on the dinosaurs. I honestly did not have time to grab them on the way out. I meant to grab some, but I got a little, you know, siloed, and I forgot to run over and grab a couple. But very well done by the Browns. Very well done by Miles trying to get the old toothpaste back in the tube. And now it is incumbent upon him to, you know, really do his part to live up to this new contract.
I can tell you that Meredith is very upset that you couldn't grab a cupcake because she really wanted one of those cake toppers. She wanted one of the cake toppers.
There were decisions I had to make. Make it home in time to do this or stay and gather cupcakes. I chose you over the cupcakes.
I appreciate that, Daryl. That means a lot to me. That means a lot to me. Okay, so with the cupcakes and the dinosaurs aside, what was, as you walked away from the press conference, as you raced home, what was running through your head about what Miles had to say? What struck you the most about his comments?
Well, I mean, there wasn't anything surprising. I do respect him for saying that he does not regret what he did or how he did it. It would have been easy to, you know, dance around that a little bit, and he didn't. He basically said, no, I don't regret what I said. I felt what I felt. But he also said, hey, you know, families have disagreements. We had some disagreements, and, you know, now we're all, you know, back together on the same team, you know, trying to row the boat in the same direction. So I do respect that from Miles, that not once did I feel like he was backpedaling or spinning or placating the fans. I felt that he was pretty candid in his responses. I asked him point blank, you know, hey, at the root of all this, the Browns stink every year. You know, what are you going to do to turn this thing around, right? I mean, and that was at the core of this whole fiasco to begin with. I thought he gave a pretty good answer when he said, hey, everything, whether it's, you know, what I got to do from recruiting to mentoring to whatever, on and off the field, I've got to do that. And then obviously, you know, organizationally, they got to get the right players in here too, to help them start winning. Cause now that's what this is for me going forward. Now that's what this is all about, Spencer. This is not, about anything else. They got to start winning. They got to start winning football games. It's ridiculous. Okay. It's been 26 years of this nonsense. They got to get this thing on the tracks. You know, four, decent seasons out of 26 is completely unacceptable if you're a Browns fan. And that's what Browns fan really should be angered about. Not so much that Miles was frustrated enough to go through this process where he's like, yeah, I just get me out of here. And then all of a sudden, hey, it doesn't look like I'm getting out of here, so I might as well make the best of the situation and get my new contract, become the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, at least for the moment. And I think it's going to be for a moment, for a little bit here, because, you know, this wasn't – I honestly – when Max Crosby did his extension, I had projected, okay, because this is typically how it goes. You get $500,000 more to $1 million more in value per year. That's usually how these benchmarks get set. there's a $4.5 million difference between what Miles got from the Browns and what Max Crosby got. There's a, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to take a whopper of a contract to surpass what Miles Garrett got from the Browns. So this not, this wasn't only just the benchmark, Spencer. I mean, it really was a benchmark. But yeah, it's incumbent upon Miles now, from a leadership standpoint, both on and off the field, to get his teammates playing at their highest level so that this football team can start winning games.
Yeah, listen, I largely agree with everything you said. I do think he was pretty candid about a lot of his feelings on things. I loved the line about, and I said this last segment as well, you know, like families fight sometimes. And that's largely why I'm not worried about any of like the after effects of this. And what I mean by that is like, what does this mean for the Browns' relationship with Miles? What does this mean for Miles' relationship with the Browns? What does this mean for Miles' relationship with the fans? What does this mean for the fans' relationship with Miles? I'm not worried about any of that because like these things tend to take care of themselves. Like when he's out there playing at a Hall of Fame level, nobody's going to be batting an eye and be like, oh yeah, remember that time you requested a trade? Like, no, nobody's going to care. If the Browns are winning and if he's playing well, that's at the root of all this. That's all that really matters to people. So yeah, like we'll move on. And this was a nice way to, I think, sort of close the door. In a lot of ways, it's good that he got this out of the way now because he could have waited until, God only knows, training camp to speak and like really just kind of let it fester and not answer questions. And then I think it would have been worse. So it's good that he's kind of ripping off the Band-Aid. I do think, though, like, you know, you said you don't think he backpedaled that much. I do think there was a little backpedaling going on because you can't, in my opinion, Daryl, use Andrew Berry's comments against him in your statement about, like, Cleveland to Canton and then be all, like, right, gung-ho about, like, well, hey, going to Canton from here sounds pretty good. And, you know, I always wanted to finish my career here. I always wanted to bring a championship to Cleveland. Like, yeah, that stuff was all good before you basically said the exact opposite over a month ago. So maybe he didn't play it strategically perfect the way he did it. Like he could have gone on Radio Row and maybe been a little less aggressive about some of the things he said. I don't know. But yeah, like I think there was a little bit of walking back going on. And basically to me, that just kind of makes me feel like, okay, he was convinced because of the money that this was what he wanted to do.
Oh, I believe money played a massive factor in this. Also playing a factor in it was if he was going to get traded, it was not going to be to a contender. Also, too, you know, the contenders might not have had the room to accommodate him and his contract.
Yeah, that he wanted. Right.
So, you know, there's a lot that goes in to this particular situation. But you're right. Once the season starts and if he continues to play like he has the first 8 years of his career, nobody's going to care. It ain't our money. Not my money. It's Jimmy Haslam's money. I'm all about spending Jimmy Haslam's money. I'm all about that. I got one.
That's why you've been so high on the stadium thing. You're like, hey,
I got 2.4 billion ways to spend some of Jimmy Haslam's money. Okay. And it includes a nice shiny dome in Brook Park.
Cash
build
money,
it all,
homie.
Jimmy. Pay for it yourself. Go for it. Get it done. Right. That's to me, you wonder how Jimmy Haslam can make up for what has been this franchise since they have bought it. Build the team a stadium. Just build it.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the politicians. Just get it done yourself. And then if you can get some money on the back end is a little rebate or something like that, fine. But like just do it yourself. Go get it done. Build a football palace for Browns fans. Get a bunch of college football playoff games here. Get some Final Fours here. Get some big concerts here. Get Taylor Swift to come to Cleveland. Whatever, you got it right. You know,
I think all the youngins are on to Sabrina Carpenter now. That's the new one.
Oh, is that who the new the new hot item is? I am not hip when it comes to the modern music. I'm sure she's a lovely young lady. That's all I'll say.
Daryl, we have so much to talk about that does not involve Sabrina Carpenter or Taylor Swift. So
I'm going to Google her here in a second.
You should,
figure out who she is.
We will talk about much, much more with the Miles Garrett press conference here coming up. Tyvis Powell is going to join us at 1 o'clock. I'm sure he has some thoughts. I do want to talk some Cavs in the final hour, Daryl, because we got to give them some love. They play the Grizzlies, obviously, tonight, and I actually have a pretty good question, I think, for you that we can answer. So we'll get into some of those things coming up, but it's all Miles Garrett reaction here. In the meantime, with your calls, 216-474-0092, your tweets, and more. So please, keep it locked with Daryl and myself, Spencer German, here with you, filling in for Baskin and Phelps until 2 o'clock, right here on 92.3 The Fan. Miles forgot to mention Fridays and Wednesdays and just about any day, because at this point the NFL will put their games on any single day. But anyway, yeah, I agree with what Miles had to say there about sort of convincing the fans of what he's about. I think fans largely already know what he's about, but I don't worry at all about him coming back out next year and playing at that type of level. So 216-474-0092. It's Spencer German, Daryl Ryder filling in for Baskin and Phelps. We'll talk to Tyvus Powell around 1 o'clock, pick his brain on what Miles had to say. But Daryl, I wanted to pick your brain on something here that came up during the press conference, because I thought that Zach Jackson, first of all, asked a really good question about just Miles, if he feels he needs to, you know, do anything differently as far as like being a leader goes with this money. And he said, like, no, you know, I don't think that you, like, the leadership doesn't have a price tag on it. And I think he was kind of taking it from the standpoint of, like, I already know I'm a leader on this team. It doesn't change anything for me. But then what I thought was interesting was that the person in Jason Lloyd who wrote the piece that we've all read at this point from The Athletic asked him about the quarterback situation, and sort of after questioning his leadership, and he asked him about whether or not the Browns have revealed their plan for number two, Miles was very short. So I already asked this a little bit earlier, but did that feel more like Miles was like, hey, I'm not giving anything away for number two? Or did that feel like he was just avoiding Jason Lloyd's questions?
I don't think he was avoiding Jason Lloyd's questions. He just wasn't going to answer Jason Lloyd's questions. I think that's what that was. I think that leadership comes in a variety of forms. And it doesn't always involve, you know, the guy that gets up in front of the locker room and gives the big win one for the Gipper rah-rah speech, right? It's about setting the example for everybody in the locker room. It's about holding teammates accountable for not doing their part or doing their assignments, right? Doing what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it and things like that. But you can't do that if you are one of the offenders. So I think that we always assume in sports that the highest paid or the best players on the team are automatically the leaders. I'll be honest with you, I don't think Miles Garrett has a leadership personality. I think he is a Hall of Fame player, a tremendous athlete. I don't think that automatically means he has to be the leader of the team. What it means, though, is he's got to go out and play to the level of the contract, which, if history is any indication, not going to be a problem, right? He will play at a high level through injury. He will play at a high level when healthy. But I think that leadership, especially in pro sports, isn't what we and fans believe it to be or try to make it out to be, if that makes sense. And that doesn't make Miles any less of a player either. I want to make that very, very clear. I'm not picking on him. I'm not criticizing him. I just don't think he has a leadership personality. I think he is a great player that just goes out and he does his job. And he does his job at an elite level. And he expects those around him to just naturally follow. I don't know that he's a guy that will get up in front of the locker room or will pull a teammate to the side and, you know, tear into them for not doing something they're supposed to. I don't know if Miles has that type of personality built into him.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't have that in him, Spencer, that's okay. You know, like, I think that's what folks have to understand. Not everybody's a leader. It's okay. As long as he goes out and he's available and he plays the same way he's played the last 8 years, from my standpoint, and obviously you got to be a good team ambassador, you know, be good off the field, you know, be a community ambassador like he's been, you know, help recruit free agents, whatever, do those intangible things. But like, as long as he goes out and does his job and does it at a high level, I'm okay if he isn't comfortable or doesn't want to be, you know, that guy. Yeah. If that makes sense.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, Daryl. And here's what I'll say too. Like, I've always viewed Miles, and the more and more I've been in that locker room around the team, I've come to feel this way about Miles even more. I think he's like a leader to a point. And what I mean by that is, like, I mean, you heard those press conferences after games where he's getting asked week after week, you know, how do you stay motivated? How does the team stay motivated? And he kept giving these very, you know, authentic answers about, like, listen, it's about your personal legacy. Like, you're putting tape out there that other players, other teams, other people are going to see. And if you don't play with pride, like, that's going to be used against you. Like, you got to go out and play hard every single day. And I, like, that comes from a place of I think, like, his passion for the game, how he wants to be great. And that's what I mean when I say, like, he's a leader to a point, is, like, when he does speak and when he talks, I know that that team listens. Like, I know that that team does take what he says when he says stuff like that to heart, and they understand where he's coming from. And so I think there is a level of leadership within Miles where he goes to a certain point, but I don't necessarily think he is, like, the end-all, be-all leader. And maybe that's part of the problem with, like, how this team's been constructed, is, like, maybe there's been too much assumed for Miles to be that guy because they haven't had a quarterback to sort of take those reins, especially since Baker Mayfield's been here. And so because of that, like, they don't really have that sense of direction that you're looking for, and we all just kind of assume it should be Miles because he's the highest paid player and he's the franchise player. But I agree with you. Like, just because Miles is getting the most money doesn't mean that like, makes him a leader by default. Like, that's something that's inherent. And I do think we sort of associate certain things with leaders. Like, we all watched Jameis Winston last year, and we think that guy with the rah-rah speeches is this great leader, when really, like, I think a lot of those rah-rah speeches are kind of corny, and I'm like, how does this even play with grown-ass men who are going out to play football? Like, when he's talking about eating a W and stuff. And that's no offense to Jameis. Like, he's authentically himself, and obviously his teammates love him for it. But some of that stuff is so goofy, I'm like, is that really what guys want in the locker room too? So I think there's a balance in this, and I think Miles has his own balance in the way that he approaches being a leader, essentially, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I got a name for you, and fans are going to hate me for saying this, but I also think it fits into the conversation. Nick Chubb. Like, yeah. Nick Chubb doesn't speak, right? I mean, he just keeps to himself. He goes out and plays well. He does his job, and that's that. In a way, he's a leader, like, leader by example,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But,
and you need those guys, too. You need those
right.
players, too.
But again, I don't think anyone's turning to him for words of inspiration, right?
Yeah.
And again, that's not a criticism. That's just his personality. So you need guys. You need the Jameis Winstons, rah-rah guys. But the problem for Winston last year was, okay, that was great. The speeches are great, and they go viral.
He's talking about CC pizza parties during the preseason or whatever it was.
All great, but it doesn't help me when you're going out throwing for four picks in a game that costs us a win.
Right.
Right?
Yes,
right.
They're delicious, magically delicious.
it doesn't matter. The words then fall on deaf ears. Now, if you go out and you're winning and you're not throwing picks, you're throwing touchdown passes instead, then there's impact behind it. But it loses all its juice when you're going out there costing the Browns football games. And that's, you know, so there's the contrast you get there. Leadership is not something you can force on people. They made Deshaun Watson a team captain last season. Now, you tell me what that dude ever did to earn a team captain for the Cleveland Browns.
I can't really answer that question. I don't have an answer.
You made my point exactly. So maybe next season, let's not just hand out team captain badges to people. Let's actually hand them out to people that deserve them. And I don't know, maybe some stuff in the locker room would fall in line a little better than it did a year ago.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's all well said. I do want to, there's a couple of things I want to hit on. Miles has some interesting comments about the quarterback position and their pursuits of quarterbacks. We'll get into that. I also thought, again, and the conversation we had about like backpedaling a little bit, like the stuff about his future being in Cleveland was kind of interesting. So we'll play some of that stuff. We'll talk about it coming up, Daryl. I do want to get to Nelson and Avon Lake, though. Nelson, what's going on, man?
What's going on, boys?
Not much.
Hey, appreciate all you're saying, and I agree with it 100%. I guess the word that comes to my mind is disingenuous a little bit. And none of us are going to be upset as fans, right? None of us are going to be upset with Miles when he's out there on the field and he's dominating like he has done. But this I would say, we could have with all the negative publicity that the Cleveland Browns have had over the last, I don't know, 3-4 years, we could have done without the whole radio row, going out, you know, shouting from the mountaintop that we wanted to get out of here. Listen, if there's one thing that this organization is good at, is writing checks. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Browns, at some point, had planned to make Miles the highest paid defensive end in the NFL for whatever that little period of time that would be. And I mean, I'm happy he's staying. I love Miles as a player. I think he's the best we probably have seen in a Browns uniform in our history. And I hope that, you know, we can get a championship here. But yeah, disingenuous is the way that comes to mind. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Nelson. I can understand where fans feel that way because, you know, he basically stood up there and made it known like, yeah, you know, the money was the end all be all. And I think, but my thing, Daryl, is like, doesn't everybody who cheers for sports teams sort of have to accept that going in? Like every time you cheer for a sports team, you have to accept that the player's loyalty to the team is always draped in how much money they're making. So like once you get past that hurdle anyway, you should just be able to sort of accept the player for who they are, whether or not their intentions were genuine in their what they said about where they're currently at or the fans or whatever, or if it was like based in money. I just think that's the nature of the beast in sports. Like you kind of sign up for that and understand that going in when you're a fan of any team.
Well, I do believe that the genesis of this whole situation was built on the frustration over the state of the Cleveland Browns.
I agree with you on that. I do.
Okay. Then there is the practical reality of what we've been talking about. He's probably not going to where he really wants to go. So his situation is going to be no different than it already is in here in Cleveland. Can the contenders, the teams like the Bills and the Eagles and the Lions and whatever, can they accommodate the contract that then he wants to get? There's that hurdle. And then there's the team don't want to trade me. They're not motivated to trade me. So you boil all that together. And it's like, well, I might as well bite the bullet here. Let's get what I can, and then let's make the best of the situation. And I think that was kind of the circle of life here, Spencer.
Yeah.
With this whole situation, I understand why some fans feel that Miles is being a little disingenuous here. I get it, but I also don't believe that this was solely about getting a new contract from the Cleveland Browns, because all he had to do when the season was over was, hey, Andrew, agent's going to get in touch here, looking at the market. I'm about $10 to $15 million below market value all of a sudden. I know I got 2 more years left on my deal, but we really got to get this looked at and taken care of this offseason. And you know what Andrew Berry would have said? I agree, Miles. We'll get it taken care of. And that would have been the end of it. So I firmly believe that the state of the franchise at the end of the season not only frustrated, but it angered Miles to the point of where he was just like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I've given 8 years. I can't do it anymore. And that's why he went on Radio Row to really kind of, you know, amp up the pressure,
yeah,
right? Squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And I'll give you, and let's give Andrew Berry, let's give Jimmy Haslam Sports Group, Browns management, a lot of credit. They kept their mouth shut, other than saying, we're not trading them,
yeah.
Right? That's the only thing you heard come from the Cleveland Browns. We're not trading them. And they played it right. And it ultimately resulted in them keeping their future Hall of Famer.
I got a couple more things to ask Daryl about his sense from the press conference, including Miles talking a little bit about what the future holds at the quarterback position and the plans that Engeberry has. We'll get into those things coming up here in about 5 minutes here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The word disingenuous came up from a caller last segment. I feel like that's one of those answers that probably feels that way to fans, where all of a sudden you used Engeberry's words against him and now you're sort of walking it back. Darryl, let me ask you, because that was his response to, like, do you see yourself now finishing your career in Cleveland? He basically right. says yes there, but I don't know, man. Like, the guy changed his mind on whether or not he wanted to stay or be traded. Who's to say a year from now, if everyone's not getting fired, that he doesn't come out and say, I want to trade, I want to get traded again, and here's the teams that I want to go to?
Well, if you thought trading him this offseason might be a little complex, try trading him with the new contract.
That's fair.
Like, so, he's not going anywhere. And that also kind of popped up. You know, he mentioned something to the effect of, you know, we're in this together now, right? You're not going to be able to trade him, even if you wanted to or tried to, or he asked for it again. He's here. He's not going anywhere.
So essentially, he's played that card for the last time.
You get to play that card once and you're done.
Unless he decides, like, after this contract ends, like, he's going to ride off in the sunset, like, ring chase somewhere if they don't win one or something like that, and he signs, like, some one-year deal type thing. This is it. Like, he played that card, and now that card is
right.
gone.
Yeah. And he'll okay. be he'll be 34, 35, somewhere in that range at the end of this contract here. So Yeah, that's not to say that he doesn't end his career, as you put it, ring chasing. But look, I think if the Browns can get to a point where they're close, or I don't know, heaven forbid, get over the top, but like just get close, then I think that improves the chances of him ending his career. And the other thing too is, how many players start and finish their careers with the same team?
Yeah, nowadays not a lot. It's quarterbacks that are good, and that's about it.
It is a very, you know, professional sports today has become very transient. And so it is extremely rare that you're able to draft a player and then subsequently sign that player to multiple contracts and have them finish their career with you without going anywhere else. That doesn't happen in today's sport. And that doesn't make players the villains. That doesn't make them bad people. I don't think Myles Garrett's a bad guy for the trade request. If anyone was listening to me, anything I had to say, I took a flamethrower to the Browns. I blame the Browns for Myles' trade request, right?
Yeah.
It's their fault that he wanted out of here. It's their fault for not being able to win and put their once-in-a-generation Hall of Fame player in a position where he can play on the league's biggest stage. It's their fault, not Myles Garrett. Football's the ultimate team sport. He's one of 11 guys out there, all right? Myles, I don't think he came off as a bad guy. I get that. But I don't think he is the bad guy in all this.
I think that's well said, and honestly, when you put it that way, it does make this day feel more monumental in the fact that, like, hey, the Browns were able to draft this generational talent, and now he's likely here till the end of his career for the most part, and now I understand why they brought out cupcakes for it. It makes sense now.
Which, again, I can't speak to the deliciousness of the cupcakes. They look good. I did not partake, and... I'm not going to lie, Spencer, as I sit here, I'm starting to regret that decision.
Well, if I was there, I wouldn't have been able to eat them anyway because I'm not eating sweets right now. So I would have just had to stare at them and salivate, and it would have been terrible. So I'm kind of glad I missed this one today. Maybe the one time the Browns actually bring out cupcakes for something on this occasion. So another thing,
and
Miles,
I think I could have taunted. See, this is an opportunity. I could have taunted you with this.
You really could have, but now you have no leg to stand on. You lost all your leverage the same way Miles did. So
you know what? I should have come to the studio with a full tray. I would have been Meredith Zero.
Honestly,
Kayla would have loved me.
If you had brought some to the studio and Meredith would have loved it. She could have got her little Miles thing, and then
I could have gotten my little cartoon Miles cutout. I didn't even want the cupcake. I just wanted the cutout.
By the end of the show, I probably would have just given in and eaten one anyway. So that's probably what would have happened.
I would have sat in front of you and just ate them all.
Yeah, it's easy for me to see him on Twitter and be like, yeah, I would have had to hold off on that. But once they're here, I would have been like, oh man, I might have to just do it. God will forgive me, right? I think, maybe, who knows. Real quick though, because you talk about like them being in this together now, and a lot of that though does center around what's going to happen to the quarterback position. And my thought, Miles, and being candid, was pretty candid about that whole thing. And I've said this for a while now. When Miles first requested the trade, like, there was no way back in their exit interviews when they first talked that they could have mapped out, like, hey, Miles, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sign Russell Wilson, and we're going to draft a quarterback. Like, they didn't have all those things figured out at that point. You need the time in between then and now to sort of figure out what your plans are. I would imagine they have a better plan now, and he seems somewhat bought into that. But what I thought was interesting was the idea that, you know, he kind of he has faith after he talked about wanting to play with a franchise quarterback, that Andrew Berry is going to find that guy. Here's what he said exactly in the press conference.
I mean, just leaning on AB and his expertise, knowing that he has a plan on, what this team and this offense will look like going forward. You know, he's going to put the best offense possible out there. He's going to get a QB that we all continue to have faith in, and we're going to go out and do our thing on defense.
When you heard that, did you take that as, all right, so Russell Wilson's the plan? Because I have a hard time believing that. Or did you take that as, yeah, they're probably drafting a rookie at two? Or maybe neither.
I didn't read too much into that.
Well, what's the fun in that, Daryl? That's the whole point.
I did enjoy what he said about Russell Wilson, though.
how he was like, I won't sack you 3 to 4 times a year if you come here. That was a good. That was honestly he had a lot of good quotes, like the family thing was good, but that was the line of the entire thing. Because what do you say if you're in a meeting and Myles Garrett's trying to pitch you on coming to the Browns and you're like, hey, why should I come to Cleveland where you just bash? And he's like, well, hey, on the bright side, you don't have to get sacked by me every couple games. So that's a brilliant pitch, honestly. Like that was well done by him. He could have won on Shark Tank with that.
Yeah, maybe. So I don't think that anything he said today tips Andrew Berry's hand as far as what the plan is going to be. But I will say this. I do think Miles knows what the plan is.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
He 100% knows what Andrew Berry is thinking. It was interesting, just to give a little behind the scenes for folks. So before Miles came into the room, first Andrew Berry popped in, and in typical Andrew Berry style, he sat in the back of the class. He kind of didn't want a lot of attention. He just kind of came in, said hi to a few folks, and sat in the back row.
Sounds exactly like Andrew Berry. So that's...
Yep. And then his agent, Nicole Lynn, she popped in the room. And Miles' family came in with Miles. J.W. Johnson, who is a member of the Haslam Sports Group ownership, he was in the room as well. It kind of felt like just a big love fest, right? That's just the way I can describe it. Everybody was happy, no hard
feelings.
It's like
the prodigal son come home, Daryl, to use another biblical reference.
Everybody's telling jokes and laughing and hugging and, you know, hey, remember when we went to Radio Row and took a flamethrower to you? Oh, those were good times, weren't they? Oh, man,
you know the prodigal son story?
Yeah.
Like where there's two sons, the one stays and like works the farm with his dad, and the other one leaves and like goes and parties and, you know, throws all his money away. And then that son comes home and they throw this massive party for him, and the other son gets mad. That's what it was.
Miles
went away, and then he came back and he was like, oh, I'm here. And, you know, get me cupcakes, get me dinosaurs on the podium, and we're all back singing Kumbaya. We can all celebrate together again. That's what this feels like. In this Lenten season, I think that's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, a month of forgiveness. That's what it is. Not atonement, but forgiveness.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to take fans a little longer than a month to forgive, but by the time the season rolls around, he's playing at a high level, I think it'll all be water under the bridge, obviously. So,
100%.
All right, 216-474-0092. We've talked a ton about Miles this last hour, just Daryl and I. We get some thoughts from Tyvis Powell, who obviously works with us at the station, does a bunch of other things around town and also in Columbus, former Ohio State Buckeye. I'm sure he has some thoughts. And, of course, whenever we have Tyvis on, I got to work in at least one Ohio State question, so I'm going to have to ask him about what Ohio State Buckeye he most wants to see on the Cleveland Browns. Do you have an answer to that question, Darryl? Do you have a favorite Buckeye that you want to see the Browns maybe draft?
No, but I did propose a revolutionary draft strategy for Andrew Berry. Best outside of the number two pick. Set the number two pick aside. Outside of the number two pick, best Buckeye on the board.
I think you told me about this strategy off the air before. I think it's a good idea. There's a lot. Listen, that team just won a championship because they're the most talented roster in football. You can't really go wrong drafting any of the guys from that team and hoping that they stick, especially at the running back position. You know, Emeka Ebuka could be there in the second round. I honestly think, too, like, what happens in the second round, Daryl, is kind of becoming the bigger conversation for me than even what's going to happen to two. Because, like, whatever they do it to, there's going to be so many things that if they take a quarterback, there's going to be so many things they still have to address when they get to the second round that I'm fascinated to know, like, where they might go. Maybe that's something we can ask Tyvis Powell. We'll get to all those coming up here with Tyvis in about 6 minutes or so. It's Spencer German. It's Daryl Ryder filling in for Baskin and Phelps with you on a Friday right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.